I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Cult Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Europa League winners Atletico Madrid, and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Cult Gennaro Chat making his standard Monday appearance on a Wednesday. It's his standard Monday appearance, but in this case it took place on a Wednesday, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Cult Gennaro Chat. We continue with our season review by analyzing Atletico's midfielders and how they did this season, an area of many problems in 2016-17. Saw a lot of growth in 2017-18, improvement from key players and the development of guys like Tomas Partey. We'll talk all about Tomas and his friends, including Saul and Koke, how they did. The disappointments in midfield, including Yannick Carrasco and maybe Angel Correa. Plus, we'll talk about how the midfield may look next season, when Rodri's arrival could put a spanner into the works. How will Simeone juggle the balls in what is now arguably the deepest part of his team? Finally, we find out that Rob hates It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. A very disappointing moment in Cult Gennaro Chat history, but we'll keep him on nonetheless. Before we jump on into all that, though, make sure to leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, where you can find Cult Gennaro Chat. You can also find this program on many other podcasting platforms, but a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts would really help us out. It gets more eyes and ears on the show. In addition, make sure to head over to the Patreon page, patreon.com/cultgennarochat. You'll be able to hear the latest Cult Gennaro Chat rumor roundup, our bonus pod. It's a big one, probably the biggest one we've ever done. You're not going to want to miss it. You can become a Cult Gennaro Chat amigo from as little as $1 a month at patreon.com/cultgennarochat. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this.
I haven't really liked the last three, so, but that's just me. I mean, I wasn't like one of these people out here boycotting it because, you know, I've been new. Kanye was crazy.
Right.
But I just wasn't really feeling it like that.
First time I heard it, I didn't care for it, but I've been listening to it, like, I wouldn't say nonstop, but I'm listening to it a ton, like, the past few days. I think it's really good.
Huh. All right. I may have to give it a second chance.
I think it's better than Life of Pablo. It's definitely, like, more focused and, like, more concise.
Oh, yeah. It is only, like, what, 7 tracks?
Yeah.
That's not so bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And you know...
I'll give it a whack.
Whack. You know how much I love Yeezus, so don't be talking mess about Yeezus.
Yeah. Yeah. I will slander Yeezus. It was fine. It was better than Life Bobble, that's for sure.
Yeah, that definitely we can agree on that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So I had to finish the seasonal player ratings for the midfielders. I just finished those. And amazingly, I kept it to under 1,000 words.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess midfielders is the most interesting area.
I'm very proud of that. And yeah, it'll be dropping for everyone to read probably tonight or tomorrow. We're recording this on a Wednesday, so it should be out Wednesday night or Thursday. But we're going to be talking in depth about the midfielders today, Rob. Are you excited?
Oh, I'm very excited.
This is
my favorite part of the team.
Yeah, it was, I think, the area of the team that saw the most improvement this year. Mm. Because when we did this podcast last year, we had some, I guess, choice words for the midfield. It was last year there were some injuries. There was a lot of inconsistent play from new and old signings. But this season was a little different.
Yeah, and there was quite a lot of turnover in the midfield. We saw quite a few people leave mm-hmm. that started the season there that we sort of didn't really expect to get shipped out halfway through the year. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I agree. There was a lot of improvement.
Yeah, three of those players going to one country.
Yes, indeed. And I'm sure we talked about them a lot, but I'm sure we'll have some words for them.
Yeah, so we're going to do this kind of the same way we did the review of the goalkeepers and the defenders. We're going to talk about, we're obviously going to name the player. We've got, let's see, probably seven regulars, I think. Yeah, 7 regulars plus a few other guys we'll mention. The one key stat, hitch or ditch. And then we'll put it all together and boom, we'll have a podcast.
That's how we do it.
We have a plan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We got a game plan going in. We're like Diego Simeone.
Let us begin with the guys who didn't play a whole lot or left midway through the season. Those 4 guys are Tony Moya, Aaron Asane, Augusto Fernandez, and Nicolas Gaitan. Moya and Arona only played one game apiece. Moya literally got stoppage time of the win over Depor on April 1st, while Arona played about 65 minutes in the 2-0 loss to Espanyol on May 6th.
Yeah, that was a terrible game for a lot of reasons, so I sort of feel bad for him that was the one match he got.
We got a good look at him. He's a winger by trade, 22 years old, from Senegal. He looked a little, I guess, raw, but that's to be expected. It wasn't a game that really meant much. It was just 3 days after the very emotional victory over Arsenal. So a letdown was to be expected. But still, we got an hour plus of Arona. Don't really know if there's a future for him here. After all, still is with the B team. And then Moya, of course, got even less time.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Moya is that he's still just 20, but Sané is getting up to 22 now, and, I mean, that's not, a child. That's not, like, a prospect age, really, anymore. Once you sort of hit 23, that's kind of the cutoff. So,
yeah,
next season, if he sticks around, is going to be make or break for him, I reckon.
Yeah, I don't really see much of a future for him at Atletico, considering all the rumors that have gone on lately. And, yeah, Tony, I mean, there's a chance. He's 20 years old. Yeah, maybe there's a chance we see him a bit more next year. But it's hard to say. Simeone has never really relied on the kids from the academy. There are times we wish that he would rely on them a little bit more to see what they really have. This season was a good chance for him to do so, but he didn't.
Guys that we felt fairly confident would at least get a little bit of playing time, like Sergi, didn't even get a look at all.
Not even Sergi got time. And because Atletico are looking for a new left back, it doesn't look like Sergi will get time next year either.
Right. So, clearly, I mean, he's trusted youth players in the past. I mean, we saw people like Saul make their debut at a very young age, but not so much recently.
And Koke as well. Tomas, of course, who broke out this season, as we will discuss.
Yeah, so maybe he just doesn't believe in this current crop, and that's fair enough. But hopefully we'll see some more youngins coming through soon.
Augusto and Nico Gaitan are not academy kids, but they departed midway through the season. Augusto left for Beijing Renhe in January. He played just 343 minutes across 8 appearances. Did not play a single minute before November.
Just kind of a sad state of affairs about Augusto. There's a lot of, like, what could have been with him.
Yeah, very much so. Because we saw when he came over from Celta in the winter window in 2016 how big he was. He was huge for that team. A major reason why they got past Bayern Munich in the Champions League semifinals. Really helped carry and revitalize that midfield. And then he tore up his knee following season and hasn't been the same since.
Yep, exactly right. It was a shame to lose him because I do think he was a good player, and I think Simeone quite liked him, but I think it just sort of got to a point where he really wasn't of the necessary quality, and after some pretty major injuries, it wasn't really worth keeping him around.
Yeah. Interestingly, Atletico won all 4 games in which he started this season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he looked awful when he played, but... I could see why they chose to get rid of him.
Yeah, he's just the fragility as well as another part of it.
Absolutely.
Gaitan, our favorite player.
One of our favorites. Ever since he's left, I kind of like him more.
He was a flop. He went to Dalian Yifeng with Yannick Carrasco, who we'll talk about next. Played 370 minutes this season, and Atleti won 4 of the 11 games in which he appeared. He never could catch a break.
No, he just never really did anything at Atletico.
No, it was awful. And he was almost directly responsible for the Luis Suarez goal in the first Barcelona game this year. Almost directly responsible because he failed to close down Sergio Roberto on the wing and left him unmarked to swing in across for Suarez. I'm still mad at him about that.
He cost a lot of money, and he was one of these players that was very highly rated for a long time in Portugal. And this is, third time recently Atletico have been burned buying from Portugal? So let's just not do that anymore.
Yeah.
Let's just stop doing that.
Gaitan, Jackson, and there was another one. I know there was.
We sold Raul Jimenez to Portugal, right?
Yes, yes. That was how Atletico got rid of him. That was a George Mendes special.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, comes with the territory, I suppose.
Like literally, that was Atleti played a friendly against Club America in the preseason, and then 2 weeks later, it's like, oh, Atletico have signed their starting striker. I'm like, oh, okay. Where did that come from?
He's good at taking penalties, and that's about it.
that was the summer that we were linked really heavily with Chicharito. I remember that.
Ah, good times.
And then Chicharito ended up knocking us out of the Champions League. But we're not here to talk about that.
Yeah, that move really worked out well for Chicharito.
At least, I guess the best thing I can say about Augusto and Gaetan this season is that they took 700-plus minutes that didn't have to go to, say, Koke or anyone else.
Or random youth players.
Or Vitolo when he wasn't quite ready yet.
Right. So they were guys that were there.
Yeah, they were there, they did things, and now they've gone. Mm-hmm. Yannick Carrasco.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this is definitely an oh, man. So Carrasco, he too left in February for Dalian Yifeng in the Chinese Super League, but he played substantial minutes. He played significant minutes to the point where we can give him his own little capsule here. Last summer, I tipped him for the breakout. This was supposed to be the year where he became one of the top wingers in Europe. He was at that age, 24 years old, just came off a year where he scored 14 goals. He had all the qualities, all the talent was there, but he just never put it together, Rob. Why not?
I think consistency was his biggest problem for me, is that you can partially put some of the blame on Simeone that he never really got a consistent run on the team, but even when he did get sort of regular minutes, he just couldn't replicate good form week after week, and that is something that Simeone really does not go in for at all. And you're right, last season he was actually, well, I guess 2 seasons ago now, he was quite good, as you said, scored 14 goals. But even then, he was inconsistent. And then this season, he just never really looked like the sort of mercurial flying winger that he once was. And it was strange, because I agree with you. I think he, at one time, was one of the best, potentially could have been one of the best wingers in Europe. But for one reason or another, he never put it together, whether that's attitude or what have you.
I have two key stats for you with Carrasco. Three of his 4 assists came against Las Palmas this season.
Yeah.
That sums it up. And also, he completed 90 minutes just twice in his 27 appearances.
Not so good, huh?
No, that sums up the Yannick Carrasco experience. This is a guy who... He started strongly again this season. Or last season at this point. I gotta stop saying this season.
It's really confusing.
It's weird. I have to train my brain to say, okay, now we're in summer. But he started well, but he, reverted to type in October. Yeah. I remember the Carabash game, the first one, where Simeone subbed him off about 20 minutes to go. I think he threw Correa on in his place. And Carrasco just kind of pouted and crawled. Not literally, but he basically... took a very, very slow walk, took his sweet time getting to the bench when Atleti really needed to get a substitute on. And that just typified the attitude issues that were always with Carrasco. He rarely played for the team. When things didn't break his way, he really didn't seem to want to dig in and do more work. He went more than 3 months between goals this season, between October, November, and December, and the first couple games in January, he didn't score. And, yeah, just a very, very frustrating season once again. And I think that Atletico hit arguably their best form of the season after he left. I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think that they missed him very much. I don't think he missed them. I think this was just a relationship that needed to end.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think he's a guy that definitely plays for himself. And if... you're good enough for the team to be built around you, then that's okay. If you're the kind of guy that can take over matches and score consistently, then that's fine. You can be as selfish as you want, but he was certainly not that. And given the amount of talent that he has, it was just extremely frustrating every time you'd watch him just sort of try to dribble past someone, fail, and then kind of look down at the floor, look up at the sky, and just sort of look annoyed. And it's like, come on, dude, you're much better than this.
Is he, though? I mean,
I think he is. I think there's talent in there, but I don't know what it is. There's some other problem that's preventing it. Clearly, I mean, we've seen these flashes of him looking like a great player, but for one reason or another, it didn't work out. I think there's something, but I think we may be past the point where he could ever become, like, a top-quality player. I think we're well beyond that.
I think what's obvious is that he's too good to be playing in China.
Well, yeah.
Like, that, we know that, but how good is he, and how good can he really be? I think he comes back to Europe, maybe even after the World Cup, if he has a good enough World Cup, because his China move actually worked out for him. Roberto Martinez picked him for the Belgium squad, so he's going to be going to Russia. So
he's lucky to be in that Belgium squad.
He is, though. You're right. He is lucky because that's a move that should not have worked out for him to the degree it has. And, you know, boom, it has. He's going to the World Cup. But he may get a move back to Europe. And at that point, he's still 24 years old. Like, he could still catch on somewhere at a big club, at a Champions League level club. But I don't know. Yeah, I feel like I think I agree with you. I feel like that. We kind of missed his chance here, or he kind of missed his chance to become that player.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I don't think there's really much chance of him being one of the best players in Europe, but I think that he could be a solid contributor if he sort of gets his head right and can put the talent together with his play style in a way that doesn't totally hurt the team. But we'll see. I would tend to agree with you. I think that after the World Cup, he may bail on the whole China thing. There were always rumors floating around that there was some kind of clause that he would go somewhere else. I believe it was Juve that it was originally read, but I'm not even sure if he's good enough to go there at this point.
Yeah. If he loved, you know, the work that Simeone made him do, imagine the work he's going to be made to do in Serie A. Oh, he's going to love it there.
Like the most tactical league in Europe. Does not play to his strengths.
He is going to love it there. Oh, he's going to love tracking back in Italy.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we'll see. Yeah. I wouldn't put a huge bet on that at this point.
Yeah, but just such a disappointment. I think for me, the biggest disappointment of the season, maybe for throughout the whole team, was Carrasco. Because I just expected so much more out of him. Even though he scored a lot of goals last year, even though like, I think only one of them came against a really good team, his goal against Bayern, he was still young enough to where you could see a potential evolution, a potential, you know, point A to point B to point C, like on a road to stardom here, just never got there.
I mean, if you could, as a winger, if you can hit 15 goals a season consistently, that's beautiful, but I think that was more of an anomaly than anything else.
Scored three this year for Atletico in 17 games.
Yeah. And, you know, most of those were against pretty terrible teams, so.
Yeah, again, three of his four assists came against the 19th place team in the league. So,
yeah. So, not so good.
And one of his three goals came against him, too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he scored against Yeda. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Scored against Sevilla and Bilbao, but Bilbao were terrible this year, and Sevilla are the most inconsistent team in the league, so it's really not that impressive.
Yeah. And that goal against Sevilla came on an error from Nzonzi. Right. Actually, Vieto created that by pressing him. Forcing back pass that Carrasco latched onto, so Carrasco wasn't even responsible for that goal.
Yeah, so well done, Yannick.
Well done. Yeah, so no hit your ditch for him because he has obviously been ditched.
Yes, he certainly has.
On to Carrasco's replacement now, or effectively his replacement, Vitolo. Despite being given a 4-month head start, Carrasco, he and Vitolo scored the same amount of goals this season for Atletico.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Totally crazy.
They both scored three goals across all competitions. And Vitolo did that with some really, for lack of a better word, interesting minutes distribution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was weird to see Simeone just not play him at all in big games, like the one at Barcelona, which was arguably Atletico's biggest game of the season. To that point, it was. But it was strange. I think Vitolo's season was strange. Between Las Palmas and Atletico.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think it was very weird. But I think even though he never really hit what we think is his best possible form in this Atletico team. I think we saw glimpses of the reason why Simeone absolutely prefers him over Carrasco.
Yes.
In that he will actually work and track back and do things for the team and not just himself.
Yeah.
Which is good to see. And he was unlucky at times, I think. I mean, he got sent off in that Villarreal game very stupidly.
That was not a red card. It was never a red card.
No, absolutely not. That was so terrible. So he was a bit unlucky there, and he was playing in an absolutely dog shit Las Palmas team. So I can't really blame him for not doing so well with them.
But yeah, you mentioned that he has those qualities. He's versatile, good technical ability, really high work rate. And that's what makes him a good fit in this team, even though his minutes were kind of spotty. They were kind of here and there. Some games, he started the Madrid derby, which was a very strange decision, but it paid off because he came up with a huge assist in that game. And then there were other games where he, you know, would play just a few minutes. The Villarreal game, he played, 15 minutes and got a red card?
Yeah, exactly. I think, I'm looking at 22 minutes he played.
Yeah.
So, that was ridiculous. He was mostly a sub in the Europa League as well. He started the Arsenal match, no? Or did he come on as a sub?
I think he did start the second leg, right?
Yeah, second leg.
Yeah, the second leg he did start. Played 74 minutes.
Yeah, so that was good. But really, we didn't get to see him at his best. But I'm not willing to give up on him at this stage by any means.
No, I mean, he had a really odd first half of the season playing for a Las Palmas team that was much, much worse than expected. He got hurt in December, and who knows how long that was bothering him for. It was weird. I think weird is the best way to put it for Vitolo. I guess my only concern is he's 28 years old. He's not getting any younger, right. And he doesn't really have a clear role in this team next year, especially if Atletico go and buy Thomas Lemar.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the one thing you could say is Atleti don't really have that many wingers, natural wingers.
Yeah.
So he'll probably start, and I think he, having the benefit of a full preseason, since he's not in the Spain World Cup squad, may do him some good. But I guess we'll see. I think that next season Simeone really needs to show the reason why he's been chasing him for, a few years now. So
yeah.
And actually pick him to start in some matches.
We only really saw that in short bursts. We only really saw what made Vitolo such a name that was so high on Simeone's list. We only saw that for a game or two at a time. Then he'd go right back to the bench. So it was a weird one. I think mildly successful. The key stat.
He certainly wasn't a flop.
The key stat for me is his dribbles per 90 minutes. 2.5 in La Liga. Only Correa averaged more.
Which is pretty darn good, considering he was on the same team as Yannick Carrasco, and that's the one thing he can do well. So.
Yeah, it's the one thing. Yeah, Carrasco averaged 3.5 per 90 minutes, but he left midway through the season.
Yeah, I mean, that's all Carrasco really does, is dribble and cut inside. But, yeah, no, I think Vitolo can be very effective. I think he just has to get the playing time.
If you're Vitolo, do you regret this move?
I don't think so. Because Sevilla was even more of a mess this season. I'm sure he would have been a very strong influence on that team, but they had three different managers this season, and I don't think he would have wanted to be a part of that at all.
Yeah, it didn't go much better for him at Las Palmas, though. It actually went worse for him at Las Palmas.
Yeah, and that was a weird situation, because they were so bad, and it's his hometown team, so he sort of felt pressure to perform, so I can't really fault him for that.
If I'm Vitolo, I'm probably a little unhappy because the lack of minutes he got this season. He played less than 700 minutes for Las Palmas, although granted some of that was due to injuries. But he only played 620 minutes in La Liga for Atletico. And he only started half the Europa League games. So if I'm Vitolo, I'm thinking, why did I make this move? I was in the Spain squad. I was on the periphery maybe getting selected to go to Russia. But now I have no chance of that. So
this is true.
Maybe I have a little regret if I'm Vitolo, but
there's
still a lot. It's still inconclusive because we just didn't see him a whole lot. He still got a trophy in the Europa League for the fourth time in his career. He's won Europa League.
Right. not that he got off the bench or anything.
Right. Yeah. Well. Yeah. He didn't play the final. In another, because he was declared fit before the final, but he didn't play it.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
Just so, yeah, there's a lot that's still to be determined with Bitolo. A lot of it is still incomplete, because he played less than half a season. We haven't seen him at the level he was at in Sevilla. And who knows if he will get back to that level? Who knows what the setup will be next year, especially if someone like Lamar is brought in? Who knows?
Well, I think if we're 2 months into next season, he's still not consistently starting, then I think we may start to hear murmurs of him wanting out. So. Yeah.
So I would hitch.
I would too.
Just give him more time, give him another chance. It's tough to integrate into a Simeone team, and there are some guys who just don't do it. But Bitolo is one of them. I think Bitolo has the determination and he has the skill set needed to succeed in this team. We just got to see him.
Yep, I think he'd give it another year, and the thing is, if he still can't get consistent playing time next year, then you gotta try to move him on, I think.
Yeah. Next up is El Capitan, Gabby.
Yeah.
This surprised me when I looked it up. He managed to get to 50 appearances this season.
Which is crazy.
He's
34.
He got his 50 once again. It didn't seem like it, but he got there. You look at that and you say, okay, well, even though he's 34, you know, he's still going strong. He played in pretty much all the big games, scored and set up a goal in the Europa League final. Okay, so you have that, but you look a little deeper. He played his fewest minutes in the league for a decade. He started off the bench as many times this season as he had in the past 8 seasons combined.
Mm-hmm.
So the phasing out, despite all those appearances that he made, the phasing out started this season.
Yeah, and the minutes are a little bit skewed because when he starts games, he plays all 90 minutes, generally.
Yeah.
It was clear that this season was sort of the beginning of the end for Gabby, I think.
And it was the right time, too. He was great in 2016-17. I thought he was Atletico's best midfielder that season.
Absolutely.
Better than Sal, better than Koke. But this season, his tackles, interceptions went way down. He was dribbled past at a really high rate, 2.5 times per 90, up to 3.7 per 90 in the Europa League, which is really high. And, yeah, that's really the key stat to look at, is that he's not so good defensively anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's anything wrong with him as a player or the system. It's just that he doesn't have the legs to follow people all over the pitch and tackle them anymore like he used to. And that was always his best trait. Is that he was just a tireless worker, and that's why he was so good for so long. I mean, he can still do some things that are quite important for the team. I mean, he's always been a bit underrated in terms of his technical ability, but yeah, he's certainly not the player he once was. But that's not really surprising, given the sheer amount of minutes he's played throughout his career.
Yeah, it shouldn't.
And the intense teams he's been in as well.
It shouldn't be surprising, considering all the minutes he's played, all the running he's done. The positives about his play this season was that his passing accuracy approached his career best, 85%. And Atletico, when he started in 2018, Atletico went 14-2-4.
Which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, so when he started, even though he wasn't great, Atletico still won.
And you can't underestimate the guy's influence on this team. I mean, he's just such a beast, and I'm sure having him in the dressing room is just like an incredible influence. But yeah, I mean, we saw that it's sort of heading towards the end of his career, but he can still certainly contribute to this team next year, I think.
Yeah, and that's why I say hitch. He's going to be 35 next year, but he's the captain. He is a club legend. He's born and raised in the academy. Rodri has been signed to replace him, so Gabby will probably make half the appearances that he made this season.
Yeah, I would hope he'd come off the bench maybe a little bit more. If you're looking to close out a game, maybe, but even still, he doesn't really have the legs to do that. But maybe if you just sort of restrict him to 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there, he'd be more effective.
I kind of hope Zaragoza come up now so he can go back there for one last game.
That would be funny.
That would be really fun.
I'd like to see him. I think he's earned the right to leave whenever he wants, so long as he just doesn't want to keep sticking around and starting every week.
This next guy is a fun one, Rob. Angel Correa.
Yes.
This is the guy I wrote the most about in my seasonal player ratings. I think. Let me see. Yeah, I got in a good 200 words on him. I had a lot to say.
Always one of my favorites is Little Angel.
Yeah, I had a lot to say about him because he finally he got the minutes that we'd been clamoring for him to get. But how good was he?
Not great.
Yeah, it's kind of the problem. Yeah,
that's. I mean, he's all right.
In a way, that is the issue. So he played almost 3,300 minutes this season across all competitions, scored 9 goals, grabbed 8 assists. The key stat for him, 56 games.
Yeah, so, he got the game time, that is for sure.
But it's not a great return. And, yeah, Simeone played him as a winger, which he's not. He's a forward. But yeah. Correa was still very, very inconsistent. Between September 23rd and January 23rd, that's a 24-game stretch with 16 starts, Correa scored 2 goals and assisted 1.
Again, another Yikes. Very kind of streaky player.
Yeah, and that was that span between September, October, early November. That was some of the worst football Atletico played this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, October and November particularly.
This is true. I mean, he was huge in that match against Lokomotiv. But, I mean, other than that, he couldn't really influence any big games. I guess he scored the goal against Valencia, but
yeah, that was probably
his best moment.
His best moment of the season was that goal against Valencia. That was a gigantic goal for him and for, you know, the league table, because that gave Atletico the head to head over Valencia. Not that they needed it by the end of the year, but it gave them the head to head.
Well, I mean, he started 20 games or more than 20 games as a winger.
He started 27 games in La Liga.
Which, we know that he's not that. But he's not a striker either.
No, he's kind of at his best in the Griezmann role. But the problem is Griezmann's playing there. That's the problem for Correa.
I mean, I guess if you want to go glass half full and if you believe in Correa, you'd say that Griezmann's probably going to leave and he'll maybe get more time in his preferred position next season. I'm not so sure I'd buy into that, but it's hard for me because I do really like him as a player.
What if Griezmann stays, though?
Yeah, I know. But still, I'm still... Until there's a statement or a renewal, right. I'm not going to believe that Griezmann's staying. So
yeah, but err on the side of skepticism.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't. I mean, he's been. Yeah, we'll get into him later, I'm sure. And probably another show, but we talked about Griezmann leaving too much. But Angel Correa, I think he could still be something. He's not a winger. I don't know if Simeone's going to persist with him as a winger because Atleti just had none.
Yeah, that's a good segue into what I wanted to say, is that I think at times Simeone went to him because he had no other options.
Right.
Because Carrasco had gone, Vitolo had just come in, so either you start 4 central midfielders and have just generate no chances the entire game, or you have Correa from the start, which Correa has always been better as a substitute who plays 30, 35 minutes and just burns an opposing defense when they get tired. So starting Correa from the beginning, it leaves you in a position of weakness because that's a huge piece off your bench. I think Simeone turned to him more out of necessity at times and then out of, this guy is one of our best players. Early in the season, Correa played a lot because he was one of their best players.
But and I mean, I think that is another thing that could count for him is that, you know, he wasn't playing in his best position and he was being played there because there were no other options in a at times quite a dysfunctional team.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is still more room for improvement. I think this season will do him some good whether he stays or goes.
He's in a weird position regarding that too, because Vitolo is probably going to play more next year. You have Lamar or someone else like him probably coming in. And if Griezmann, if Griezmann leaves, they're going to probably spend big to replace him.
Right.
So Correa's in a weird position. I don't know how he will like going back to the bench after playing this much this season. It'll be an interesting one. I think he's a guy who could move this summer. I really think that.
He's on the bubble for sure.
Yeah.
It just sort of depends how Simeone sees it, whether he sees him as a guy coming off the bench going forward, which I don't think he would be okay with, or as someone that can start behind Diego Costa from the very beginning of next season. Because otherwise, I don't really see the point in keeping him.
And yeah, I don't know if I don't see Correa that way. As much as I've defended Angel and as much as I like him as a player, he's not ready to step into Griezmann's shoes. Maybe in another year or two, he will have developed enough to that point, but he's still just so inconsistent and so, I guess, flighty. He hasn't put it all together yet. I mean, we go back to these patches he has. He goes, you know, 4 months, you know, he goes 4 months with a goal or an assist every eighth game. That's not good enough. And then the final month this season, between April and May, he managed as many red cards as he had assists.
The discipline was a major issue. The
discipline is still a problem for Correa. And I don't know if he has the maturity to just get past that and put it all together at this point. And Atletico need to decide on him soon.
Yeah, and it's a tough decision for sure.
Do you hit your ditch?
I would keep him, but that's just because I quite like him as a player, and I still think that there's more to give from him, but I wouldn't begrudge anyone for wanting to get rid of him either.
For the sake of argument, I'm going to assume, let's assume that Griezmann stays, and they bring in Thomas Lamar. If that's the case, I ditch him.
Absolutely. In that scenario, I think you have to.
Because what is his role going to be? Are you going to put him back on the bench as a striker? That's not going to make him happy after he just, you know, played 56 games and over 3,200 minutes this season. That's not going to make him happy. You have no need for wing depth anymore because you'll have Vitolo and Lamar over there.
Yeah, but if they do sell Griezmann, then I think it's probably for the best you keep Correa just in case the person they bring in, if they bring in anyone as a replacement, doesn't work out.
In that case, yes, Correa will be competition for whoever they bring in, or Correa will be competing with whoever they bring in.
Right. So it really depends on what happens with Griezmann, I think. So yeah. We will see.
Like a lot of things Atletico are going to do this summer, it depends on Griezmann.
But especially for his future, I think it's going to depend. So maybe he's hoping that Griezmann will be off.
That's kind of what has been implied to me in the past, is that Correa, there were offers last summer in 2017. There have been offers in the past. You know, Liverpool, Inter have been linked with him. The implication that I heard about was that he was told, you know, just bide your time, be patient. Eventually, there will be a starring role for you.
Yeah, I really do like him as a player, but if he's not going to get starting minutes, I think both for him and the club, he should go.
The next guy I want to talk about, I want to preface this by asking you a question about television.
Okay.
Are you a fan of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
No. In fact, I could be called a hater of that show.
You what?
But that is also due to a freshman in college roommate that incessantly watched that show.
that roommate might have been me.
Yeah, it was secretly you the whole time.
How dare you? Okay, so there's a character in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Charlie Kelly, portrayed.
Well, I've seen a lot of the show.
Yeah, so you know Charlie. If you know Charlie, then you'll know that Koke is basically the Charlie Kelly of Atletico.
I'll take your word for it.
And because Koke is asked to do about 87 things, all game, every game, 90 to 180 minutes a week. He has to create chances. He has to pop up all over the pitch, run more than anyone, take all the set pieces, make tackles, make clearances, block shots. He has to clean up everybody else's messes, and he never gets a rest. This is why Koke is Atletico's Charlie Kelly. Because it's easy to...
He might be the most overworked player in all of Europe.
it's easy to lose sight of how actually valuable and important Koke is, because sometimes he's too busy doing everything to really stand out. Doing everything else for everyone else to really stand out. I guess you can sum it up by saying this. The month he missed this season with injury, the month he missed was the same month that Atletico drew with Carabash twice.
Right.
Which effectively eliminated them from the Champions League. So.
Oh, it definitely did.
Yeah.
And those were also the two worst Atletico matches in, like, the last 3 years.
Yeah, no kidding. Conte, in a weird way, I think he did some growing this season. Despite still not having a real position to call his own, he'll play left midfielder, he'll play on the right side, he'll play in the middle. Despite not having that one position to call his own, I think he started to take more control at times this season. It's never really been a bad thing that Kalke's shifted all over the place. It's made him more versatile, more valuable. Really, Simeone's called him untouchable before, and he is. But the stats show that Kalke didn't have a great season. Registered just 4 assists in the league. That's the key stat. That's his lowest total since 2011-2012. And he notched less than 2 key passes per 90 minutes. His lowest since the pre-Simeone era.
Yeah, I guess you could justify that in some ways by saying he was more involved in the build-up rather than providing the final ball as he has in the past.
That's exactly what I was going to say. He completed 51 short passes per 90 minutes in La Liga. That's the second highest average of his career, and a personal best 85% pass completion percentage.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sort of starting to think that with Koke, it's just, this is who he is. He's just not a guy that has a position. And that's fine, I guess. if he can keep being this important to the team, and I agree with you, I think this is the year where he was most important to the team, whereas before he was kind of this young guy that was had this amazing technique, and it was like, whoa, look at the set pieces he can take and stuff. Mm-hmm. Now he's like actually integral to the team.
Yeah, and the set pieces aren't what they were when he was 22, 23 years old. He's a different player.
Which
now.
Is bizarre, by the way.
Yeah, it's so weird how that has regressed as he's still in his mid-20s, and that set piece delivery is gone from years past. I don't quite know
how that happened.
It's not around anymore. But still, Kalke had a better season than last year, despite the numbers not really saying so. Kalke is a player who you have to think back on the totality of what he does to appreciate him. Like I said, he cleans up everyone else's messes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Rodri's arrival is going to help him more than anybody. Like, oh my god, thank you, Rodri, for taking over 25 of these 50 things I have to do every game.
Yeah! Yes, exactly.
Now Kalke will be allowed to venture further forward and focus more on creating chances rather than doing everything else I've already mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. And it was actually quite a good year. I enjoyed watching Koke this year more than I have in the past, because before it's been frustrating. Like, why aren't you this, like, ridiculous number 10 that's, like, fizzing in these unbelievable passes? But it's like, no, this is just kind of the guy he is. He's, like, a hardworking guy that's extremely valuable in terms of linking up the play for this team, and he understands how this team plays at this point probably better than anyone else.
I mean, there was a time where we thought, well, obviously Xavi said he was his successor, but we know Xavi talks a lot of junk.
We certainly know that.
Yeah. There was a time when Koke registered 14 league assists 2 years ago, or 3 years ago at this point, 2015-16, led the league in assists, and we thought, okay, this guy is the next great Spanish playmaker. But the last 2 seasons have seen his role really change. He's embracing, I don't want to compare him to Modric because they're different players, but he's embracing that kind of role, that kind of dictating pace role. That's being handed over to him very slowly, very deliberately, but it's coming to him.
Absolutely. And I think he's taken a lot more responsibility within the team. He's now well beyond the point where he's a youth prospect, and now he's one of the elder statesmen of this team. I mean, he's been an important player for Atleti for so long at this point that he should be taking the responsibility. He's earned it.
Yeah, he's going to be the future captain. When Gabby leaves, the captaincy is probably going to Koke.
Probably,
It makes sense. He's been at the club since he was 8 years old. He's going to probably have 300 league appearances to his name by the time Gabby leaves. So he should.
He may just end up not being a very, like, shouty kind of captain sort of guy, and that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
He may just be a lead by example sort of guy, and that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. With leading by example, though, this kind of goes back to what I started with. Kalke doesn't really do anything that stands out. He just does a little bit of everything. And at times it's frustrating because he's not really – by trying to do everything, he kind of does nothing. But he does still do everything. And it helps the team. We don't – we're going to figure this out. It's like he's telling everyone, we're going to figure this out. I'm just going to do all the dirty work. And we're going to figure this out.
Yeah. He's like, just let me handle it. And I mean, he signed a big extension, which was great, I think. And if he never leaves Atletico, which it kind of seems like might end up happening, he will break the all-time appearance record quite easily.
Probably. I mean, I think Adelardo has that record with 550, 551.
And he's at 370-something at age 26. Yeah, so he could probably do it.
Probably going to break it before his legs go.
Yeah, presumably.
Yeah, but Koke, he's a really good player. Sometimes a bit weird, and sometimes you don't quite know what you're watching him do. But when you he's more of a player you have to reflect on to really get what he does.
Yes.
And why, when he goes out, Atletico are so terrible. Because no one else in this team really does what Koke has been able to do.
I think people that watch Atletico, like, once every few months may not truly understand how important he can be to this team, because you sort of have to watch over time and see Atletico without him to see what he is. Because I mean, there was a time sort of around the time Atletico won the league where people were talking about him going for like 80 million euros and being like this next great playmaker, like Xavi says.
Yeah, but that's not,
I don't think
that's
he's going to be that, and that's okay as long as he can keep doing these things for Atletico.
Yeah, he can be a playmaker. If he's in the right role, he can be. Koke is very much a system player. He'll do whatever is asked of him. Whatever Simeone asks of him, he will do. And Simeone asks him to do a lot of things. So.
But hey, that's fine. So another kind of weird season, I guess.
But ultimately good. I think he grew more this season. He matured this season as opposed to last season. I think he did get more vocal this season. I think he did show a bit more personality and a bit more charisma than in the past, and that's good considering he's going to be the captain in about 2 years.
Well, and I guess the hope is that as these mainstays like Diego Godin and Gabby and Juan Fran and Felipe get phased out over time, he's going to be the guy.
Yeah.
Along with, you know, guys like Saul, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So
I definitely hitch my wagon to Koke. He's signed through 2024 anyway, and he's said in the past that he wants to stay at Atletico till he retires. I don't see what's going to stop him.
Yeah, that's fine by me.
No, I think
that's totally fine.
Saul is next. You know how much I love Saul. I think this season kind of reinforced that he is just too wildly talented for even his own good.
Mm-hmm.
Because Simeone will play him as a defensive midfielder when he's not a defensive midfielder.
No, he is certainly not that.
But he's still so wildly talented and naturally instinctive that he's a very damn good defensive midfielder.
Yeah, I mean, he could play him at left back, and he would.
He played him at left back this season. Multiple times he played him at left back.
God, that was terrible.
That was so bad. And Saul still did a job because he's an incredible footballer.
You're right, exactly. But please, God, don't ever do that.
He played at left back. Oh, man. Saul played 4,700 minutes this season. I don't know if you knew that.
Woo-wee!
4,700.
He played the second most, right?
Behind who?
Yeah, no Black, but that's a goalkeeper, so that's an outfield.
Yeah, does Oblak really count? I mean, he counts, but Saul does so much more running and stuff.
Right, exactly. For a lot of time, Oblak can kind of stand there.
Yeah.
But, of outfield players, I think he played the most minutes, and that is pretty damn impressive.
Yeah,
considering he's still, 23 years old?
Yeah, I didn't do the math for everyone, but I am sure he played more than anyone.
There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, he's the same age as Angel Correa, and sort of the levels in terms of their development is very, very stark.
Like, Saul, at 23...
Which one has developed more?
At 23 years old, Saul is already almost a complete midfielder.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing his development over this past 18 months or so. Entering this season, I think he had to work on his discipline and his passing. He still does foul too much. He gets booked too much. But his passing went up to 82% this season, 83% in European competition. That's my key stat for him, is that he was a 77% passer last year, over 80 this year, 82% this year.
And I think the amazing thing is that, and just sort of to illustrate how much Simeone trusts him, is that for the most part, he would start over Koke in the central role.
Yeah.
He was absolutely preferred, and he's 3 years younger and has much less experience than Koke, and yet he will still start.
And
I think that's the correct decision.
And he will score just massive goals.
He doesn't score normal goals.
No, he doesn't.
It's not a thing he does.
And he only scores outrageous bangers, and he only scores in big games.
And that's okay. You gotta have someone that does that.
And he does. He's much more aggressive than Koke. I mean, they're both very dynamic midfielders, both from the academy. But Saul is more aggressive. I don't want to say flashy, because that's not Saul's game. But
he's more exciting to watch.
More explosive than Koke is. Koke is just like, you know, a bee buzzing around trying to organize everything, trying to get everything right, doing the Charlie work, doing the Koke work, as we can call it now.
Yes, indeed.
Saul is kind of the beneficiary of this. And not to say Saul doesn't work hard. Saul is an incredibly hard worker. And as I mentioned, incredibly good defensively. He has such great instincts. He runs as much as anybody not named Koke. He's so awesome.
And for a midfielder, he takes a lot of shots, which is good.
He does.
Because he's very good at shooting.
I wish he would take more. Honestly, I wish Saul would take more shots.
And I think he might, as time goes along. I think this team needs him to do that at times.
Yeah, because you can't lose what he offers with his eye for goal, with his long-range shooting. Incredibly accurate long-range shooting.
You don't want him like jacking it up 15 times per match from like 40 yards away, but I think if he's taking calculated long shots, then that's good.
The goals he scored against Barca and Lokomotiv this season were just outrageous.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
The Lokomotiv one, I still don't totally understand.
Like he just like pulls up and says, "All right, nothing's going on. I'm just going to shoot it from about 30 yards." Boom.
And Atleti find themselves in that situation quite a lot. It's like, oh, well, we're not really doing anything going forward.
And
Saul, let him shoot.
Saul is the player who can break that. Because if you watch Atletico every week like we do, there are lots of times where it doesn't seem like anything's happening. And then Saul does something like this. Or Correa does something like when he scored that goal against Valencia. Nothing's really happening, and you have that kind of game-breaking moment. Saul provides those game-breaking moments.
And, I mean, he's just an excellent player. And I think that this summer we may see even better from him at the World Cup if he's trusted to play, which I'm not positive he will be.
But, I kind of hope he doesn't play much at the World Cup because he played 4,700
minutes. He played a lot.
He played 4,700 minutes this season. I kind of hope he gets a rest.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing is I'm still kind of high on him after last summer when he was playing for the
U21.
And he was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Put that Spain team on his back, and that Spain team was loaded.
Yeah, carried him to the final.
Absolutely.
We'll see how much he plays the World Cup. Probably not a whole lot because you have, Koke is probably going to start because Lopetegui likes Koke a lot. I mean, you have Iniesta, who's still a major part of that team, Thiago Alcantara as well. You have Isco to try to fit in, David Silva to try to fit in. So Saul is down in the pecking order.
He's probably going to be the odd man out, I imagine.
Which is fine. At least he's going to the World Cup.
True.
And
this is true.
He's very much the future of Spain's midfield.
Yeah. So he's amazing.
Yeah. I hitch my wagon to him. He's only got a contract till 2026.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about what we do with Saul. He's staying.
They got to renew him. I want that contract to 2032.
Yeah. He just signed a, 9-year contract last summer.
Let's make it 15 years. Let's make it 25 years. 30 years. Well,
just keep him and Koke there forever.
Forever.
Just forever. They can just play until they're like 90 years old.
It'll be like that Flash Forward and that SpongeBob episode where Squidward and SpongeBob are still working at the Krusty Krab.
Yeah, exactly.
Like one millennium.
Exactly. And Diego Simeone is still going to be there making him run up and down the pitch.
He's still going to be Mr. Krabs.
Exactly. Keep running. So, yeah, I think that will be happening.
Finally, we have party time.
Yeah.
It's party time on Colchonero Chat. For me, Tomas...
Our favorite. This was absolutely his breakout year, and yeah. I couldn't have been any happier that it was him that was the breakout player.
Yeah, you and I talked about this last year, that he needed to play more. He needed to start a lot more. I didn't think he'd start this much, though. I didn't think he'd be relied on this much.
He started 28 games in the league, which is amazing.
3,300 minutes across all competitions.
I mean, granted, he was forced to play it right back again, which,
Second year in a row. He ended the year at right back. Incredible.
He's going to end every season at right back, just for no reason.
It's so very Atletico, is it not?
Yeah, that is very Atletico.
The way Tomas just developed over the course of this season, it was a joy to watch. He has become a really complete player. He has grown into a really confident dribbler. He's a really reliable passer now as well, but he still will stay at home. No one really gets past him. No one really out-muscles him in central midfield. He's excellent at tackling, winning the ball. His positional sense is also very good. His interceptions were very high this season. No one's really out-muscling him as a central midfielder or as an emergency right back.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that he got in this team and he sort of held down his spot for a good portion of the season. And, I mean, he's a year older than Saul, but I think this is sort of, he hasn't gotten near as much match time as Saul has throughout his career so far.
Yeah.
Other than that one loan spell he had. But, yeah, I was thrilled to see him get this amount of playing time this season. And, you know, honestly, if we're assuming Griezmann goes, as I am, I'd kind of like to see him maybe take some free kicks next season, because he scored that nice one against Depor.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see him give him a go on that, because he's quite technically good. I don't think people really realize that about him.
No, they just think he's kind of like this, you know, brute force in midfield.
He's not. He's an excellent passer. I think he has a good long-range shot on him.
Yeah, he has a lot more subtlety to his game than that. He also scored that banger against Karabash.
Yes, very true. Very true. And I think if you have Saul there shooting with his left and Tomas shooting with his right, I think that's a pretty deadly long shot combo.
Yeah, and his game just grew so much this season. And it's really kind of hard to pick a weakness in his game, because he doesn't get booked very often. He doesn't foul a whole lot. He's really versatile. He's a really good passer. He can dribble. He does all the things a defensive midfielder needs to do. He had a tremendous season. Really kind of hard to pick a weakness to his game. If you had to pick one, what would it be?
It's a very tough question. I'm not sure I really know.
I don't think he has any.
I don't really... Yeah, I mean, he's... I mean... Yeah, I don't really know. he's not like the greatest midfield player ever, but he doesn't do anything badly. He doesn't even do anything poorly.
I kind of wonder how much better he's going to get. But
yeah, that's the thing.
But if he
his ceiling is very high.
If he plateaus here, this is pretty dang good. He's class.
If he's last season for the rest of his career, I mean, he's a top-level player for 10-plus years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is amazing. And the great thing is that he started this season amazing. That first game against Las Palmas, he was one of the best players on the pitch. Mm-hmm. Granted, Las Palmas are terrible, but even still.
there was a time this season where Tomas led Atletico in goals.
That did happen. He was ahead of Cristiano Ronaldo for a certain amount of time, I believe.
Oh my goodness, he was. I think it was in November. He was Atletico's leading goal scorer in all competitions.
Which is, I mean, that kind of shows how bad Atletico were in that first half of the season. But
and how great Tomas was. And Tomas has also kind of become a folk hero on Atleti Twitter, and his Instagram is great too.
It's so weird, and I love it. I don't really understand it.
And he follows all like the really expensive like luxury clothing lines. It's really really cool.
Yes, man, he's just great in every way. He has a great story that came out this year about how he had to sort of flee Ghana in the middle of the night.
To take a chance in a foreign country, in a new continent.
And he didn't speak the language and nothing. So it's a tremendous story, and I'm so glad that he's getting the playing time and making the most of it.
Yeah, he definitely honored Thiago's old number 5 this year.
Absolutely. I mean, I couldn't really think of a better replacement for him. I mean, my only concern is that, I mean, I guess with Rodri and Tomas and Sal, that's a pretty good midfield. I'm not sure they'll all three start together. And Koke's there as well, and Gabby, I mean, we're assuming he'll have a reduced role. But it's going to be a fierce competition in that central midfield.
Yeah, the competition, that's why midfield is going to be, as good as it was this year, it's going to be absolutely loaded next year. I think
it's ridiculous.
Knowing Simeone, I think Tomas is going to be above Rodri in the pecking order, at least to start. Rodri's may have to earn a place early
in
the season,
which would be okay.
Yeah, it's if he has to take it off Tomas and he takes it off Tomas, it means he'll have been better. But I don't think you can take anything away from Tomas after considering how good he was this season.
And I mean, I think he proved himself in a major way to Simeone this year. I mean, he's shown a willingness. He'll play anywhere, and he'll play well anywhere. I mean, he's not a right back, but he can absolutely do a job there.
Yeah, he's just a really, really good footballer.
Yeah, I love Tomas so much. He's the best.
Yeah, I think a key difference here is that I don't know how much more Tomas can grow. I don't know how much better he's going to get, whereas I think someone like Saul can still get even better.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But I think if he, like I say, I think if he's this guy for the rest of his career, then that's perfect.
Yeah, if he's this guy for the next 5 or 6 years, fine by me.
I mean, you just need guys that can just sort of be consistently at a good floor. He doesn't have to be, like, the best midfielder in Europe. Leave that to Sal to do.
Right.
And just let Tomas do a lot of the dirty work.
Yeah, that very well could be Sal in a couple of years.
It absolutely could be.
I think
Tomas could make Saul better, make his life easier.
Yeah. So I definitely keep Tomas.
Forgot about it.
He may not have a defined role next season, especially if Rodri comes in and just starts playing extremely well. It may be a little competitive. The competition may be a little fierce, but that's all right. That's not a bad thing.
No, competition is always good. I mean, obviously, we're going to want him to play, but if he gets this spot taken by Rodri, then that's how it is. But I think he's more than earned that starting spot to begin next season.
Well, Rob, we have been going for about an hour. Ready to start the podcast?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, let's start recording, shall we?
Let me start recording right now.
Good prep session.
Really good. Really good. Really in-depth.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's a lot to talk about with this midfield.
Yeah, and we've just finished it, and we're going to leave it there. We're going to do the bonus pod next. If you're a Colts Nero Chat Amigo, you're not going to want to miss this one. Ooh, we have a lot to talk about.
Yes, we do.
So we will leave it here. We'll do the forwards next week. But in the meantime, I'd like to thank my guest, Rob Walker.
Always a pleasure.
You can follow Rob on the Twitters at rwalk03. You can follow me, your host, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at jbbarron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colts Narrow Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. We encourage you to do so, especially on Apple Podcasts, where you can leave a rating and a review to help us get more eyes and ears on the show. Also, if you want to hear the bonus pod, but you're not a Colts Narrow Chat amigo, you can fix that. patreon.com/ColtsNarrowChat. We have a few new amigos this week. You get access to the bonus pod and a whole lot more.
We'll be back next week. Until then, adios.